Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Now we hope you'll open your Bible and join us as Glenn Colley brings us a lesson from God's Word.
When I finish living here, I want to go live with my Heavenly Father. When I get finished living here, I can't wait to go and see the Son of God. Now, what do you see wrong with that statement I just made? What do you see missing from what I just said? Is there anything about that that gives you a little discomfort? As if I should have said something more? When you hear that, do you think, I wonder why I didn't say something else? What about the Holy Spirit? Why didn't I say... We talk about wanting to go home to see God. Go home and see the Son. But what about the Holy Spirit? This morning I want to talk about the personality of the Holy Spirit. It's a funny thing, you know. I know that it's just my imagination, but I can picture God the Father in my mind. I know that it's not real, of course. I mean, it's just using my imagination. But I can picture God the Father in my mind. Can you do that? And although it's only my imagination, I can picture God the Son in my mind. I know it's not real, but I can do that. I have this mental image of what He is, what He would look like. But I can't do it with the Holy Spirit. Can you? There are some things that we know about the Holy Spirit. The first one is, we know there are three persons in the Godhead. Years ago, when I was 13 years old, my father baptized me into Christ. And when he did, he recited Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus gave the Great Commission and said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. And do you know what? I was baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit. Weren't you? There are three persons in the Godhead. It would be blasphemy to link those three together if one of them wasn't God like the other two. The Holy Spirit. There are three persons. When in Matthew 3 you see Jesus baptized there in the water, and there's God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son, and you see this dove descending, and that's the Holy Spirit. You see all three persons of the Godhead at one time there, and they're very distinct personalities. The second thing that we know is that the Holy Spirit is eternal. He's eternal. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. How much rather shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from serving dead works to serve the living God. He's described there as the eternal Spirit. You say, when did God begin? God never began. Right, He's eternal. When will God end? God will never end. That's right, He's eternal. The Holy Spirit is the same because He is described as the eternal Spirit. And we know, thirdly, that the Holy Spirit is God. In Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, when you have Ananias and Sapphira pulling their stunt, here's their sin. And remember what Peter said to Ananias? I mean, he said, you know what you've done, don't you? Ananias, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. But in the same breath, Peter then says, you've lied to God. Why is that? Well, because the Holy Spirit is God. We talk a great deal about loving Jesus, and rightfully so. Well, you and I are here today because of Jesus and because of His cross. You and I here today share with all of these people around us the love of God through Christ Jesus, and we worship God today in the name of Jesus Christ. But I tell you one thing, we make a real mistake to not appreciate the fact that the Holy Spirit is God, that we're baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit. And we've created this distance. Or maybe it just exists. There's this distance between us and the Holy Spirit. And why is that true? Why is it true that we feel closer to the Father and closer to the Son than we do to the Holy Spirit? I think maybe there are a number of reasons. Let's look at the first one. because there's so much controversy surrounding the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's because of ignorance. Sometimes it's because, well, it's like Jesus. When the Jews had Jesus come, it wasn't that they weren't expecting a Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah, right? Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the Old Testament had said that there was going to be the Messiah come. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. Going to save his people from his sins. And they were looking for the Messiah. But then the Messiah came and he wasn't what they wanted. And so they rejected him. They just did not meet up with what they expected in the Messiah. But you know, the same is true about the Holy Spirit. I mean, isn't it? I mean, why do we have so much controversy? Well, it's partly because he has disappointed so many folks. I mean, what we really want is a Holy Spirit who performs differently, who carries out his work differently. I know that he gave miraculous abilities to people in the first century. I want them now. Don't tell me that miracles have ceased. Don't tell me that this is the work of the Holy Spirit, that now we don't have... I want to be able to perform the miracles. I don't like the way he's carrying it out. Or maybe it's that I'm not satisfied with the Bible being the only way that the Holy Spirit is communicating with people today. I want more. I want him to talk directly to me. And ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit does not do that. If he did, it would reflect on the perfection of the Bible. If it is true that the Holy Spirit personally and directly communicates with us separate and apart from the Bible, then the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is not complete. And so sometimes we may react to that reality by saying, I just don't like it. I don't like the way, I'm disappointed about the way the Holy Spirit has come and carried out his will and how he performs in his role in redemption today. And there's controversy. Why is there a distance sometimes between, or at least a perceived distance between the Holy Spirit and us? Sometimes it's because of controversy. Next, it's because we find him hard to understand. And sometimes the vagueness with which Christians perceive the Holy Spirit, the vagueness with which we understand the Holy Spirit is sometimes so pronounced that we must just admit that we don't understand him at all. Third, why this distance between the Holy Spirit and us? It's because I think the King James called him a ghost. I don't know why they did that. You know, sometimes the translators got things, communicated things that they didn't mean to communicate, and I think it gives a wrong idea. We have these fairy tales, you know, in which we find ghosts, and so you call him the Holy Ghost, and we just perceive something mystical. We think this is something spooky, right? The Holy Spirit is a spirit, but don't be spooked by that. The fact of the matter is, he is no different in makeup than the Father is. Remember that John chapter 4 and verse 24 says the same thing. God is a spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, God the Father is just as much a spirit as the Holy Spirit is a spirit. Number four, why is there this distance, that perceived distance between us and the Holy Spirit that doesn't exist between us and the Father and the Son? I think this is important. In preparing this lesson, it occurred to me that he's different in our minds because we don't have these personal conversations with individuals, between the Holy Spirit and individuals, as we do with the Father and the Son. I mean, think about it. It's true, of course, that the Holy Spirit communicates. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. I mean, of course, he communicates, and we're going to talk about that some more, but not in personal conversations one-on-one. We don't have that in the Bible. I mean, so I can read about the Father communicating with Cain. And Cain, if you do well, the Father says, God the Father says, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If not, sin lies at the door. There's a personal conversation. And the Holy Spirit was there, but he's not the one talking. It's the Father. And I can think about Jesus teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And I can hear these things that he said. And I can hear him talking to different individuals and the kinds of things that he says. And the Spirit was there, but he wasn't the one doing the talking. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is God, just as much God as the Father or the Son. And what I came here to say is that he has a personality that we need to understand. I love the Holy Spirit. Do you love Him? I long for the time when I can go to heaven and be with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk about the five attributes this morning of the Holy Spirit. Here's the lesson for today. Five attributes of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit has a mind. He has a mind. Now what does the Bible say about this? Go with me in your New Testament too. Romans chapter 8 and 27. Romans 8 and verse 27. And here's what it says. He that searcheth the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. He has a mind. I mean a mind of his own. He's a thinking being. He has a mind. And that reality is evidence. What would you do if the Holy Spirit didn't exist? I mean, bear in mind that we have the Bible because the Holy Spirit inspired men to write it down. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, we read these words, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." Wait a minute, stop. How do I know God? The Father? How do I know the Father's will for my life? He says, you don't. You don't know. But then he goes on, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Well, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." How come you have a Bible that contains the heart of God and the mind of God? It's because the mind of the Holy Spirit, and because the Holy Spirit conveyed that. I was studying recently for our class on Sunday morning on the Holy Spirit that's being conducted right now, and came across something I think is very interesting that has to do with the mind of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11, in talking about all the different miraculous gifts that went to those early Christians, and I've never thought about this until I was preparing this, but it's right there. And what it says is that the Holy Spirit is the one who decided who got what gift. I mean, to what quantity gifts were given, and individuals, what gift they got. The Bible says that He gave them out severally as He will. And He just made the decision about who got what gift. So you could talk a lot about that, but the point I want to make from it is that the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, has a mind. He's a personality, not just an influence. But now number two, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's a teacher. Jesus is a teacher. Don't you love to on the screen of your imagination to picture Jesus sitting down at the Sermon on the Mount and teaching people? So, you know, I think about the Ten Commandments given on Mount Sinai, and the Bible says that there were thunderings and lightnings, and God came down onto the mountain, and don't approach the mountain, and it's a fearful sight. But when you get to the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus, He didn't come down to the mountain, He came up on the mountain, and He sat down, the Bible says, and He taught them, and I love that. But what about the Holy Spirit? John chapter 14 and verse 26, He says, "But the Comforter, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you, the apostles, all things, and bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you." All right. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Now, what kind of teacher is He? When I was a kid, I had teachers who were my favorites. Did you have any favorite teachers? I wish you could have met Mrs. Holmes, my fourth grade teacher. Beautiful. I declare she was beautiful. I wanted to marry her. And I'd have told her so, except for her husband, you know. And I really loved her. And you know, as a child, what I wanted in a teacher, what I loved most about a teacher, what kind of things that you, when you really loved a teacher, what kinds of things, characteristics were there? Well, you know, one who is gentle and kind. Do you know why the Holy Spirit was called a comforter to those apostles in John chapter 14? Well, remember John 14. This is the chapter where Jesus has told those apostles that He's going to leave them. "You're going to leave us? How do you expect us to carry on? How can we carry this work on without You being with us?" And Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It was in this context that Jesus said to them in verse 26, I'm going to send you a teacher, but not just a teacher. I'm going to send you the Comforter. What kind of things did you like in a teacher? I liked a teacher who didn't just tell me, but would show me. You know, some of us are visually oriented. I want a teacher. So you get to the discussion of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16. And the Bible says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, watch this now, He will guide you into all the truth. He's a guide. He's a teacher. But what kind of teacher? He's a guide. I'll tell you something else I wanted in a teacher. I wanted a teacher who was not ambiguous. I want to be able to... You don't want to leave a classroom scratching your head and saying, I wonder what that means. I don't know. You don't want that. You want somebody you can understand. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit, as a teacher, is very precise. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, watch this now. Paul is developing the fact that the origin of what he writes is not his own imagination, that he's writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says this, and what we write is not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. He taught in words. And so what you have today is verbal inspiration. You have the verbally inspired Word of God. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. He is a teacher, you see. He's a teacher. Number next, characteristics of the Holy Spirit. He loves you. He loves you. You think about the love of God the Father, for God so loved the world. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Or you think about 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It's wonderful. God loves us. And Jesus loves us too. Don't you love to think about the love of Jesus? Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, John 13, 34. I'm going to tell you, He said, I want you to love one another like I have loved you. But I'm here to tell you, folks, that the Holy Spirit loves you too. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. And Paul says, I beseech you, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Spirit, you've got to pray for me. You've got to pray for me. But in that, just in a passing statement there, he references the fact that the Spirit is a spirit of love, that the Spirit loves us. So what does the love of the Holy Spirit do for you? I mean, what does it mean in practical terms to you and me? Let me tell you something. Of course it means revelation. We've talked about that. It means we've got a written Bible, a perfect, complete, finished Word of God that you and I can study and know the heart of God. That's because of the love of the Holy Spirit. But not just that. There's so many things that you and I enjoy as Christians, truths to which we hold as Christians, which we value so highly, but sometimes ignoring the role of the Holy Spirit in the coming about of these. For example, you think about the birth of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the Holy Spirit who took Jesus to the womb of a young girl called Mary. Right? It was the Holy Spirit. And when you get to Matthew chapter 4, in the temptation of Jesus, the Bible begins in verse 1 and says that Jesus was led by the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, why would He do that? Why would the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, take Jesus to be tempted of the devil? It couldn't be very pleasant. Why would He do it? There's only one reason. It's because He knew we needed it. You see, you and I needed a Savior, Hebrews 4 and verse 15, who could be tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The Spirit knew that we needed that. And so you see Him in Matthew 4 leading Jesus up to be tempted of the devil. I can't prove this next point, but I think it's interesting to think about. You know, the Bible says that when Jesus had finished being tempted of the devil, that the angels came and ministered to Jesus. I love that. I'm so thankful for the angels. I couldn't be there to do it. I'm thankful they did it. They came and ministered to my Savior. But they waited until the temptation was over. Now, why do you reckon that is? I believe it's because had the angels intervened and ministered to Jesus in the course of the temptations, while it was going on, that later on, in the year 2006, when we would read of it, we might think it was an interesting story, but it wouldn't be very practical for us because we would know that we don't have angels ministering to us when we're tempted, right? It would be good, but it wouldn't be so practical for us. But as it stands, it is practical because he was tempted like you and I are. The angels ministered to him, yes, but not until after it was over. I wonder if it was the Holy Spirit who held the angels at bay in order to make this so meaningful for us. I know this, though. It was the Holy Spirit who took Jesus to be tempted of the devil. Why did he do it? You could sum it up with these words. Because he loved us. Number next, you want to know a personality attribute of the Holy Spirit? He's good. He's good. You think about the goodness of God, don't you? The Father? Sure you do. We're so thankful for the goodness of God. Romans 2 and verse 4 says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and long-suffering, forbearance? And don't you know that it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance?" And we love to think about the goodness of God. And the psalmist said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And we like to think about Jesus and how good Jesus is. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, "He went about doing good." Praise God for that. But Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 20 refers to the Holy Spirit as the good Spirit. He's good. Aren't you thankful for that? What happens when you spend time with the Holy Spirit through His Word? And let me reiterate, the only way that you spend time today with the Holy Spirit is through this Word. Does the Holy Spirit talk to us today? Of course He does. Yes, yes, yes. You couldn't go to heaven otherwise. But how does He talk to us? He talks to us through this Word, through this book. Does He talk to us separate and apart from this book? The answer is no. But what happens when you spend time listening to the Holy Spirit? You know what? Well, I'll tell you what will happen. The first thing is it'll make you sweet. You spend time with the Holy Spirit, it'll make you sweet. Here's what I mean by that. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit..." I mean, if you walk after the Spirit, if this is the life that you live, governed by the things of the Holy Spirit, He says, if we walk after the Spirit, He says, the fruit of the Spirit is, listen to this, and you tell me if you don't like people like this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentle. I want to be like that. And I want to be with people like that. And I long to go to heaven to be with people like that. Right, where do we get that kind of an influence? Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. I'll tell you something else too. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2 says that there is now therefore... I mean, if you follow the Spirit, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You'll never, ever get to see hell. You never will get to see hell if you follow the Spirit. Because you see, there is no hell prepared for people who follow the Spirit. "There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh..." Watch, watch, watch. "But walk after the Spirit." That's the Holy Spirit. And how do you walk after the Spirit? You walk after the Spirit by being governed by this New Testament, living your life as a Christian. He is good. He is so good. Now, one more thing and I'm going to quit. We're talking about personality characteristics of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has a heart that can be broken. He feels pain. Now, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is not just some influence, some faceless, nameless, meaningless influence out there. It's the Holy Spirit is a person, and He has a mind, and He is a teacher, and He loves us, and He is good, but He can also feel pain. You sometimes read passages of Scripture which describe pain felt by the Father, right? I mean, you think about Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6 where the Bible says it repented God that He had made man. I'm telling you what, that is chock full of emotion. You think about John 11 and 35 that all the children know. Shortest verse of the Bible. Jesus wept. That'd go right through you, won't it? Son of God crying. I'm here to tell you the Holy Spirit feels pain in His heart too over the same kinds of things. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Ephesians 4 and verse 30 starts out and Paul begs these people and grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know what it means to grieve? It's a sorrowful heaviness that we feel. It's an emotion that we feel. And the Holy Spirit grieves over people who don't follow the truth, who resist and reject the truth of God's Word. And we can grieve Him today. He's a person, I tell you. He's a person with a personality. And He can hurt, and His heart can break. And the Bible says He can grieve, but that's not all. He can be, and we don't use this word very much, but He can be vexed. Vexed. It's Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 10. And it's talking about the Israelites and their rebellion against God. And it says that their rebellion vexed the Holy Spirit. And vexed is like grieved, except it has some frustration mixed in with it. And the Hebrew word literally means, in the first definition, something that is fashioned or fabricated. And the idea of it then is that when He looked at the rebellion of the Israelites, that it had a way of molding His emotion at that moment. And the word to describe it was vexed. And there's an emotion of not just an influence, a nameless influence out there, but the emotion of a person who we reference as the Holy Spirit. But one more. He can be insulted. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29 says, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath," now listen to this phrase, "and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Another translation says, "has insulted the Holy Spirit." Another one says, "has outraged the Holy Spirit." Why? How come? Why does this rise to that level? And the answer is because here's a person who steps on the blood of Christ. I mean, by the way that he lives, he just steps on the blood of Christ. And the reaction of the Holy Spirit is to feel insulted by that. "You've done despite to the Spirit of grace." When I get finished living here, I want to go to heaven and live with my Father in heaven. And when I get finished living here, I want to go to heaven and I want to live with Jesus Christ. I want to see His face. I want to hear the intonation of His voice. I want to be with Jesus. So do you. Anything you see is strange about that statement I just made? Anything about that strikes you as odd? Hopefully the answer now is yes. I left out the Holy Spirit. When we stir the waters of baptism, we're doing something which my Lord Jesus described to Nicodemus in John the 3rd chapter. He said, "You've got to be born again, Nicodemus. It wasn't enough to just be born of your mother's womb. You have to be born again. Not a physical birth, but you have to have the spiritual birth. And the spiritual birth is to be born." Now, ready for this, because I want you to hear this. This is about baptism. He says, "You've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit." Now, you understand the water part. We're born of the Spirit, and that the way I know that I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins, the reason I know that is because of the Spirit. Because I learned from what the Spirit gave me in that New Testament. He inspired men to write the New Testament. And so I know about baptism. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I have that because Luke was inspired of the Holy Spirit. He wrote it down for me. When I'm baptized by water and the Spirit. And in so doing, I get into the kingdom of God. I'm one of His children. I'm one of His subjects. And then I live my life walking after the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who one day I hope to be with in heaven, with the Father and the Son. Because you see, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Is there someone here who wants to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Someone who has made up his mind, I'm ready to be baptized. I've repented of my sins and I'm ready. I want to confess before men that I believe that Jesus is God's Son, and I want to be immersed. Because Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." I want to be baptized into Christ. I want to be a part of the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. You can be baptized this morning, and we'd be happy to assist you. Or if you have reflected on the teachings that came from the Holy Spirit, and today you're ready to come back to the faith after leaving it, you know that we'll pray with you and for you. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If there's someone here who would like to respond to the Lord's invitation, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.